Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America, online, thisweekinamerica.us. The highly acclaimed new novel from Frederick Malfurz, A Year in the Life of Dr. Fox, is a tale of adventure, action, love, honor, and strength of family, despite constant danger and threat. Set in Mexico during the years of President Calderon, drug cartels fought pitched battles against other cartels, the police, the army, and the good citizens of Mexico. Kidnappings, murder, threats, and intimidation by drug cartels impinged on every facet of the Mexican life. Author Frederick Malfurz spent 37 years working with the Department of Veterans Affairs and is a former CEO of the North Florida South Georgia Veterans Healthcare System. During his career, he received numerous leadership awards and was a fellow of the American College of Healthcare Executives, transferred 13 times, performed 3 long-term details. During 2 tours in VA's central office in Washington, D.C., he was Veterans Healthcare Administration's chief budget officer and deputy in operations. His wife, Robin, is a nurse executive. Fred always wanted to have time to write, and when he retired, he actually began writing. He has published My Life in the VA, Lessons in Leadership, and the novels Minnie Mouse versus the Orlando Operators, The Adventure Begins, Mexia, a novel, the memoirs of J.C. Mulkey, and Spies and Lies, The Paradox. He has also published a play, The Patio Club, and of course, now author of A Year in the Life of Dr. Fox, author Frederick Malfurz, joining us on This Week in America. Frederick, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us today.
Well, thank you so much, Rick. I'm delighted to be here.
Loved having a chance to read the book, A Year in the Life of Dr. Fox. Let's start by talking about why you decided to write this book, as I understand, based on true events. What was so interesting about this that captured your attention as an author and you decided this is really a story that needs to be told?
Well, I'm an avid reader, and when I was a child, I watched on the Disney's Zorro, which had a huge impact on me, and I thought that among the ideas I had for writing a book was to update Zorro and to recreate the lesson, the legend, for the world that we live in now, which is very dangerous and, you know, politically all kinds of stuff about building a wall and this, that, and the other thing. So that led me to get started in it. And then the 10 or 11 months that I was actively writing it, I logged on to some of the Mexican newspapers, Periódico Nordeste, which is for the state of Culiacán, based in Sinaloa State, I should say. And so I educated myself for that year on what was going on every day in terms of Mexico's fight against the drug cartels and all the evil and problems that that brings to their society. And I just got more enthused about it the more I learned. And I thought, well, we need a modern hero, a modern legend, and that's what I set out to create, somebody who doesn't have to take on the challenge of what's facing his society, but decides to do so even though the risks are tremendously great and, you know, the challenges even more so.
You know, the book is fascinating, and you obviously capture what was happening at the time to an extent still happening in Mexico. One of the reviews said the author seems to have a deep understanding of Mexican geography and culture. You really immersed yourself, didn't you, in the culture? Because as I'm reading the book, I almost feel like I'm there, that you have captured exactly what life was like then.
Well, I sure gave it my best shot. I think there, you know, the perceptions about Mexico and their role are probably largely misplaced. I also grew up in Miami, which has a largely Hispanic culture, and you know, had friends who were Cuban Americans and went to school with them and so on. So I felt like I had a fairly decent background in terms of reading this. I've also visited Mexico and had wanted to check out the places that I was writing about, and not just rely on Mexican newspapers' accounts of them. And that was also fascinating. You know, it's interesting in having crossed over the border recently, back in August, from San Diego into Baja California. Nothing happens when you cross into Mexico. It's, you know, you're free to travel, free to go wherever your heart's desire takes you. But coming back, we were 4.5 hours getting through the U.S. Border.
Amazing.
It's just a vastly different thing. Now, I would freely also admit that there are places in Mexico and risks that I would not take, that the danger is probably greater than it is anywhere in the U.S. But I would also say there are plenty of places, bars and whatnot, that I wouldn't set foot in here, regardless of whether or not there was an imminent danger to myself. So, you know, it's in that sense, it's all relative. But I wanted to create a legend of things that were positive about Mexico and Mexicans. And, you know, the more I got into it, the more really my heart and soul went into it, in terms of maybe portraying an overall perspective that's a little more directly positive and reflects the reality that ordinary Mexicans live in day to day.
In the reviews, they talk about it being inspirational. We'll talk about the hero aspect in a few minutes. You touched on that because you do have a hero that comes out of this. The book we're talking about is A Year in the Life of Dr. Fox. The author is Frederick Malphurs. That's Malphurs. This is a republished book now available for sale at its lowest retail price, available for sale at all Amazon sites, at Barnes & Noble, Page Turner's Bookstore, Chapters Indigo in Canada, Waterstones in UK, Booktopia in Australia, New Zealand, and many more. Also available for sale as an ebook, paperback, and hardcover. You can connect with the author direct at the website fredmalphurs.com. That's Fred, MALPHURS.com. And of course, you go to our website thisweekinamerica.us and link on directly to Fred's website and get information. Let's talk about some of the characters in the book and the time frame. We're looking at what, the 2006, I believe, is where the book begins. We'll talk about the characters, and geographically, we're talking about what, the Pacific coast of Mexico.
Yeah, that is correct. Parts of it stray elsewhere, but the great bulk of the book is set in Sinaloa State, which is on the Pacific Ocean, and basically runs from the state capital, Culiacan, to Mazatlan, which is a big tourist port where the ships stop and let the tourists off and that sort of thing. And it ranges up into the Sierra Madre, that state does, where there are no police. There, you know, it's just frontier, for lack of a better word.
When we think about that time, and again, 2006, the president of Mexico issues this war on the drug cartels. You almost think that the country was on the brink of anarchy at the time. Describe what the country was like, because crime was very common. In fact, beheadings would become public to put fear into the local citizens. The drug cartels really ran that area, didn't they?
Yes, they did. I think you could easily call it a reign of terror. And the police and journalists and many people in just the usual kind of government jobs, suffered mightily, were attacked and killed, if not just threatened on an ongoing basis. I think it's gotten better. Certainly, the murder rates in some of the Central American states now, like Honduras, are far higher than they are in Mexico. I think the places where tourists would go, where the ordinary Americano would end up in terms of seeing sights and natural attractions and that sort of thing, are very safe and with very few exceptions.
The book is called A Year in the Life of Dr. Fox. Frederick Melfers is the author and our guest on This Week in America. Let's talk about the family that this is based on. And you mentioned the fascination as a child with Zorro, rumored the family to be descendants of Zorro. And here's a prominent family in the area that decided they just were not going to take this anymore.
Right. And they were in a position to do something about it. Like many people who are very affluent and have major corporations make the other kind of decisions. They don't want to get involved, don't want to risk their families. The De La Vegas decided that on their own, with little direct public exposure or gratitude, that they would attempt to sort of balance the books against the Pacific drug cartel. And many of the stories in the book reflect actual events, but I've rewritten them to involve the De La Vega brothers. One's a surgeon, the other one's a priest. And in terms of the internal conflicts that arise in terms of retaliation and motivation and what happens when you try to set things right, there are usually other kinds of unforeseen things that happen. But that's how I think the gist of how legends start. You know, we have a legend coming up, i.e. Santa Claus, a very fat guy.
Exactly, yes.
Goes down chimneys and puts presents under fire hazard trees. and we seem to believe, I believe it. And I think it's done Christians and the U.S. and a lot of other people a world of good about teaching about giving's better than receiving and all that. So, in my own way, I tried to create that sort of a legend that, everyone in society has a responsibility to do the right thing, to vote, to pay their taxes, to call out where wrongdoing occurs, and if nobody else, like the police, can or will do something about it, to do something, even if it's not enough, to correct it.
It's a great story that you bring to the book. The book is A Year in the Life of Dr. Fox. Frederick Melfers is our guest on the program. His website is fredmelfers.com. I'll give you all the information here in a couple minutes where the book is available. It's available basically worldwide, wherever books are sold. Interesting, the book is self-published. Talk about what makes this book unique and for you, why this was the direction you went in self-publishing.
Well, I always had an interest in writing, and when I worked for the VA, I didn't, even though I tried several times to begin books, I'd get distracted by something and wouldn't get back to it for weeks and weeks. which is kind of frustrating. So when I decided to retire, I thought about all the things I possibly could do, like play golf or this, that, or the other thing. And I decided to write. And then as I investigated this writing thing, publishing further, I found out about letters of inquiry that you write to agents and this sort of thing. And I thought, at my age, at the time, 59, I could easily spend the rest of my life writing query letters to publishers and not get any positive feedback. So I decided to bite the bullet and self-publish so I could write about what I wanted to write about, get that off my mind and chest, and probably should have been more concerned about book sales and stuff like that. But the part that I enjoy is going from an idea or dream to hard copy that basically tells a story, in this case, about individuals in Mexico who are heroes that most people in society don't know about or don't recognize. And I saw that in terms of my career in the VA, that there are physicians and ministers who I would see in the hospital going far beyond anything required of them in terms of their service to patients and families and the assistants, and without recognition, they didn't make more money, they didn't get their picture in the newspaper or anything like that. They did it because they felt a moral obligation to do what they thought was the right thing. And so I tried to put that into the De La Vega family, who were, at least in terms of my writing, obviously very successful in terms of being in society and making money and successful investments, but also stepping beyond that to doing what they could for their fellow citizens to make their life better, too.
I mentioned it's an inspiring story. That's one of the reviews. The Amazon reviews are all 5-star reviews. Obviously, you were touching a number of people with the book, A Year in the Life of Dr. Fox. A couple minutes left in the program. I mentioned some of the books that you've done before. A book talking about your life in the VA, 3 novels that you had written, the play that you had written, 3 novels other than A Year in the Life of Dr. Fox. What are you working on now? What can we expect to see from you next?
Well, I am working on another novel, tentatively titled Misbegotten Lies. This is the story of a professional golfer whose caddy is murdered, and the police can't find any suspects. So they kind of dog our hero in terms of probing, what were you thinking about? Are you sure you can't come up with anything? Of course, he was busy with his career. Golf requires a intense focus to be done right. So there are multiple
Well, I am looking forward to this. Yes, this is a whole new world for you. What made you decide, okay, you decided you weren't going to play golf when you retired, you were going to write. Now you're writing about playing golf.
Yeah, I've always loved golf, always had the interest, but not the time. And so, like all the research I did for A Year in the Life of Dr. Fox, which I found fascinating and was able to put much of it into the book, I have to do a lot of research because it's been years since I played golf. I've obviously, I have gone to PGA tournaments and read a lot to try to get the lingo down.
Yes.
And tried to set this golfer up to be in that category of, you know, not a top 10 or even a top 20 finisher in every tournament, but rather a guy who's fighting just to keep his PGA card and get better. And so in the face of that struggle, which affects, you know, far more golfers that we never read about.
Exactly.
He has this murder investigation now to deal with, too, and there's a potential threat that against him because they can't find, you know, they don't have any suspects as to who murdered his caddy or why. So he becomes a relatively new terminology, this person of interest. And gets identified in the media as a person of interest.
Well, I am.
To think most people think, you know, well, he did it. They just don't have the evidence.
Yeah. That's usually the connotation you have with person of interest. It's like they're building a case, and suddenly he's going to go to the person allegedly because he's now been incarcerated for this. I'm looking forward to that because there's so many golfers out there. You mentioned that category. It's a fascinating world where they live out of their vans. They're literally week after week trying to make the cut and enough money to go on to the next stop on the tour. We'll be looking forward to that book coming out. I want to mention here in the closing seconds of the program, you're working with Page Turner Press and Media. Talk about what that experience has been like for you.
Well, it's been super. They've been very responsive to my concerns. I consider myself fortunate that that they got into contact with me. One of my personal failings in this self-publishing business is marketing. I freely admit to, and they're pretty good at it, and I felt like in the past, even though I paid a fair amount of money to have these books marketed, nothing really impressed me as much as what Page Turner has done, what they have implemented in terms of contacts with media outlets, and what they've written and about the book, their responsiveness, as I say, to my concerns and issues. So I'm well pleased with it, and we'll see how this goes. But I got, as you know, other novels I could republish too.
Yeah, and I hopefully have a chance to talk about those. The book we're talking about now is A Year in the Life of Dr. Fox, and I know it's nice when you talk to authors that are involved in the creative side to know that they can turn it over to a company they trust to do the marketing aspect of it so they can focus on the creative part of it. We're talking about Page Turner Press and Media. Their website is pageturner.us. The book that Frederick Malfers has written, republished, is called A Year in the Life of Dr. Fox, now available for sale at its lowest retail price, available for sale all Amazon sites, books in Barnes & Noble, Page Turner's bookstore, Chapters Indigo in Canada, Waterstones in the UK, Booktopia in Australia and New Zealand, and a lot of others, available as an ebook, paperback, and hardcover. Frederick Malfers has been our guest on the program. His website is Fred Malfers, that's MALPHURS.com. And of course, you can link on directly to Fred's website by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Fred, a pleasure having you on the program. I really enjoyed the story that you tell in A Year in the Life of Dr. Fox. I mentioned you've got adventure, action, love, honor, strength of family, despite the family living in and people in the community living in constant danger and threat. Thank you so much for being with us on the program. You mentioned that other hero that's coming down the chimney soon. We hope you have a good Christmas, that Santa is good to you this year, and thank you for being with us on the program.
Oh, thank you very much, Rick. I totally enjoyed it.
Thank you. You're listening to This Week in America, website thisweekinamerica.us. Once again, Frederick Malfers, our guest in the program, the book, A Year in the Life of Dr. Fox. And we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.